What's up, everybody? This is Blaine McCray with McCray Pitching Dev at Mad Apple Baseball. We work with a ton of local pitchers in various capacities at various ages, and we employ a variety of methods and assessments to train and evaluate our athletes. Our passion is providing comprehensive training for pitchers with a focus on developing young arms into college pitchers and quality young men. If you're interested in working with us, reach out on X, Instagram, or at mpdmadapple.com.
The 260 Dugout Podcast is sponsored by McMahon's Best One Auto and Old Fort Baseball Company.
Yeah. DC. Turn the lights on the diamond. Man. This that 260 Dugout. Mic up, DC in the chat, talking Fort Wayne dirt, red clay in the air, from the sandlot days, scrape knees, hand-me-down gloves to park few nights, packed seats, hometown love, Summer City Sluggers, little homies with a dream, right. Little league lines, chalk bright, fresh seams, ask the guests how it started, how they carried the doubt, now they legends in the making on the 260 Dugout, yeah, it's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 Dugout.
Say it.
Say it. 260 Dugout.
Louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout.
Parkview Field, see the 10 caps play. Sunset sitting on the third baseline all day. Cold drink, crowd buzz, first pitch in the dirt. Whole city in the stands, rocking same logo shirts. DC talking with the voices that we grew up around. Ground crew to the coaches that protected the mound. If you ever felt that pressure with two strikes and two out, you already know the feeling of the 260 Dugout. Yeah,
it's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the pages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't ever gonna bow out. 260 Dugout.
Say it.
260 Dugout.
Louder.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout.
From the backstop fence to the radio waves.
Radio waves.
Every small town spark, every big league craze.
Big league craze.
If you ever caught hope in the palm of your hand, you part of this story, you part of this land.
It's that 260 Dugout. Pull up, let the stories come out. From the cages to the lights, that's what we about. Four ain't on the cap, we ain't never gonna bow out. 260 Dugout.
Hey.
260 Dugout.
DC.
From the kids to the pros, that's the route. Every dream gets a swing in the 260 Dugout.
And welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up with the show. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, click write a review and let us know what you are thinking. Appreciate all the feedback. We're in our final month of this season for the podcast. I cannot thank everyone enough for the success of this season. Season one went really well, and season two somehow doubled those expectations. So next year, we'll go to triple those expectations. So we're doing really well with downloads and perception of the podcast. And it's due to you, the listener, for spreading the word, telling other people. Thanks to our sponsors, you parents, players, all of you coaches. Appreciate all of you as this season. I can't thank you enough as we approach our final few episodes. So this episode, you know, as this season is kind of winding down and we're going more to fall sports, school starting back up. There was one little league that has been, I mean, they have been killing it for a while now and just had a couple of teams advance pretty far in the state tournament. And it's like that every year. Every year I get on Facebook, I get on social media and see this little league still thriving. And of course, if you're listening, you know, unless you've been living under a rock, we live in a day and age of travel ball. It's all about travel ball. And, you know, these little leagues, some of them really struggle with, you know, kids playing travel ball. Some kids don't, you know, may not make it to the practices for Little League or miss some of the games, and you have to, you know, play with like not enough players and have players play for other teams and not even enough teams to form I remember I coached in a league where we only had two house teams and we had to play travel teams on the schedule because that's all we had. But one little league that's doing it the right way, I believe, and you know, it's, you know, there may be some others that are doing good, but just trying to talk a little league baseball here as we got Georgetown Little League's Brandon Lindbergh joining the podcast today. Brandon, what's going on?
Hey, happy to join you, DC. Really appreciate the invite, and I love talking baseball, so this is going to be a treat for me.
Absolutely, and we got to start off. We do have one mutual friend that you are well aware of. He's already been on the show, happens to be my high school baseball coach and a good friend of mine these days, Mr. Matt Harmon. Talk a little bit about Matt Harmon.
Yeah, so Matt and I have known each other for a number of years. He's been a teacher at Blackhawk Christian, and so my kids go to school there. I've only got one that's about to start high school, so he hasn't taught a lot of my kids, but his son, Johnny, and then my son, Will, are good buddies from school. I've had the opportunity to coach with and against Matt for a number of years now, so we enjoy seeing each other pretty consistently throughout the spring and summer. We go to church together, so we have a lot of overlap, but it's always a good time with him for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I have had the pleasure. It was really fun being able to coach against him. That was a lot of fun coaching against my former coach. That was good stuff. And I would say the end result wasn't as fun for me anyway, from my perspective. We got destroyed by his son and a couple of other players on that team. So
he knows his baseball, and that's always that's one of the challenges that I enjoy. Anytime you kind of get in, even at this young age, kids can understand the game, and so when you can almost teach younger kids at a higher level and they can grasp it, it starts to get a little fun for sure.
Yeah. So talk about before, you know, going to Georgetown, I want to know your baseball background. Did you grow up playing? You have any prior experience to Georgetown? Tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah. So I kind of moved around a bunch early on. My dad was a pastor, so we moved around Indiana, but baseball has always been my love. Parents would tell me the story early on before I was even on an official team. Waking my dad up on his day off, hey, I need to go to the diamond and practice with my team. But there was no team. It didn't exist. But it was just for whatever reason, always my sport, always the thing that I gravitated towards. I got to share that love with my grandpa, diehard Cubs fan, would listen to all games on the radio. And so that was just kind of always my thing. Moved to Fort Wayne right before I started middle school, and then was able to play at Northrop. Back in the early 2000s, played for a couple of really great coaches that, baseball IQ was, that was the only way I would ever see the field. there's a lot of really good players at Northrop in my time. And so any way that I could add on was.
If you don't mind me dating you and saying your age, what year, what year?
No, I graduated in 2003.
Okay, so that's before me. So I didn't. Who were some of the other players that you played with that people may know?
Yeah, so some of the Sebastian brothers, Derek and Dustin, were right around my time. I graduated with Derek, Jason Beer, Raj Mistry, Mitch Krieger. So a lot of those guys that were very good. And I know Jason went on and played at St. Francis. I know Derek played, I believe, up in Michigan in college. And so we had a good club for sure. That was a lot of fun for me, honestly, just being a part of it and just getting to be around the game as much as I possibly could. Mm-hmm. My role is not a large one by any stretch, but any opportunity for me to be around the game, I jumped at that chance for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, high school ball ends for you. So tell me about the next step. What, you know, I always talk about when the game is over for us, we try to find ways to stay in it. What did you do after high school was over?
Yeah. So I went to, after high school, I went to Taylor University here in Fort Wayne, and just kind of assumed that any opportunity or chance for me to play anything or any be involved in any sport was over, which was at the time fine for me. I was going to get a degree in youth ministry. they had a baseball club when I got there. It wasn't a sport. It was a small college at the time, down off of Rudisill. And so, ended up just joining the club, and we would play a couple of other Christian colleges. We played some of the, like, IU Northwest up in, kind of that South Bend area. Mm-hmm. And so that was just, getting a chance to play any baseball was always a good opportunity. And then beyond that, joined some of the kind of the local men's leagues around here. The men's senior baseball league had just kind of opened up, the men's adult baseball league. So that was, I believe, 35 and under was kind of the cutoff at that point, if my memory
is correct. I played in that too.
Yeah. So I did that for a few years. I don't know if this is what it was for you, but the doubleheaders on Sundays.
Yeah.
So that was great, but then you're sore Monday through Saturday.
I got sore just when you said it.
And so when my wife was pregnant with our second, it was kind of that look in the eye, say, hey, this is all great and everything, but I need you to be a parent and be available Monday through Saturday. I said, I get it. So
yeah, you're not getting paid to do that. So
right. So that was kind of where I was like, all right, I'm done. My time at playing is done, which is fine. But then it's been a joy just to kind of live again through the game. Again, anytime being around the game is a good time. So now getting to coach my boys, being involved with Georgetown, that's been where I'd love to pour my time into.
So when did you – so tell me about your role, first of all, with Georgetown, and how did that come about, and when did that happen?
Yeah, so I'm just wrapping up my second year as the league president. Before that, I was able to serve a couple of years on the board in just different roles. Just kind of got on as an at-large, like, hey, anything you guys need, I'm here for. And then I had a year where I was serving as the VP for the minors division, which is kind of that introduction to player pitch. So kids that are coming out of our prep league where we do the machine, the pitching machine, then they would go to the minors. And that's it's a little bit, it's like a step up. Now we're playing some actual baseball. But it's really, you have to teach the fundamentals and kind of level up some of their abilities at that point because of the kid pitch. And it's a slower level of game with the machine pitch at that age. That's 6 to 8 years old is machine pitch. The machine's consistent. So it's kids are hitting, they're kind of learning how to play baseball a little bit. It slows down in minors. And so that was, it's a good introduction, but you kind of have to really work with them through teaching the different aspects of the game for sure.
Yeah. So,
and then, go ahead.
No, so I was going to say, like, so who did you take when you became the league president? Who was it prior to you taking over? And what were some things that you learned that you were able to take in as you took on this new role?
Yeah, so I took over for Chris Schulenberg, and Chris had served as league president for a couple of years, and he had the unenviable position of he took over kind of after COVID, and I would say the numbers for all leagues were down through COVID, obviously.
Oh yeah.
So he had to kind of work that league back into where it was, and really did an incredible job of setting Georgetown up for success. And really, I would say, and he would, I don't know if he would say this, but I'll say it for him, really had to do all of that kind of on his own. Not that the board wasn't available to him, but I've had the opportunity to really walk alongside Chris, and he's continues to be a great resource for me. And he did not have, he really didn't have that kind of the predecessor that was able to give him the ins and the outs. So he put in an incredible amount of time to learn what he needed to do and then also execute it. So I have a huge appreciation for what Chris has done, and he's still around at Georgetown. He and I talk weekly through text, email, phone calls, just about different situations. And, hey, this is an opportunity. Is this something we want to explore? So he's been a truly an incredible resource for myself. When I kind of put my name out there, we knew that he wanted to step down as far as that role of league president. Mm-hmm. Again, talked to my wife and said, hey, I think that this is something that I could do well. Hopefully do well for Georgetown and put my hat in the ring for it. When we kind of got voted on, and then he and I set up a meeting just to kind of talk through all the stuff. And I remember he sent me an email with the different topics that he wanted to cover. And I think it was like 65 different topics. And so you just kind of like, not quite sure what I got myself into, but we'll figure this thing out. So, we've had several of those meetings where we'll just sit down and chat for a couple of hours about different things. And so Chris has been truly a huge asset to both, not just myself, but to Georgetown and really getting us, setting us up for the position that we've been in these last couple of years.
So walk me through not only a day-to-day, but just tell me what are some of the things that you have to do in your role, you know, not only just a day-to-day basis, but throughout the year, because I imagine, I mean, you're not only overseeing just, I mean, you're overseeing coaches and, you know, you have other board members you kind of oversee as well. You're overseeing, you know, schedules, you're overseeing field maintenance. I mean, tell me a little bit about how your year and day to day goes.
Yeah. So you're not wrong. There's a ton that kind of falls under this umbrella. I feel very lucky. We've got a good amount of additional people on our board. So I think our current board is 16 or 17 people. A lot of them wear multiple hats. Yeah. So whether they're in charge of a specific kind of age group or we've got a facilities guy. And so like those kind of things is I find a lot of my responsibility is to obviously identify or kind of receive the initial information. Hey, what's the problem? But then as much as I can delegate and get additional help, that's really where my role hopefully has some success. But I mean, you kind of think of Little League or baseball as a season, and fortunately or unfortunately, whatever, which way you're looking at it, we're working throughout the entire year. So I meet with the board, with my board once a month. We have a board meeting, and that's all 12 months of the year. So just because our season ended doesn't mean that kind of the work has to stop. And it's almost in some ways kind of it ramps up. So whether we're starting to work on field maintenance for next year, just kind of looking ahead for more of the kind of capital projects of how can we improve our own facilities or that kind of thing. That stuff for sure never stops. We have fall ball that will come up here pretty soon. So we are kind of already starting to work on that stuff. And then additionally within our district, so Georgetown is part of District 10 under the Indiana Little League Central Region. The district has a monthly meeting as well where the presidents of the different little leagues will get together with our district board or district administrator and just kind of talk about all the things that are kind of coming down the pipe. So it's just good to have information from him, whether it be rule changes, different things that we need to be aware of, anything that is coming down from kind of like Little League proper that they feel we need to be aware of. And then I'm going to take that information and kind of kick it down to our board, discuss kind of the impact of what that means for Georgetown, and then how we need to either respond or address anything. So there are a couple of meetings a month, and then there's just constant information kind of going out. So there's different chats that we have, whether it be specific divisions, my board, that are pretty active. So we're sending information out pretty consistently. And then just trying to figure out, again, what do we need to do to continue to move Georgetown forward? How do we improve upon the player experience? Because the ultimate goal is I personally want kids to love baseball. I want baseball in Fort Wayne to succeed. And so how do we make that happen kind of with our little slice of Fort Wayne? And then just let's try and execute that to the best of our abilities.
Yeah, so another question that I had was, you know, as you're getting ready to start fall ball, how's your participation? You know, with spring, how's your participation? Well, by participation, I mean, do you have any issues with kids signing up? Because I see even some little leagues, I mean, almost begging for people to sign up, you know, and register their kids. And I was just curious, how is your registration for spring and fall ball?
Yeah, so kind of the spring is really what people think of as kind of the main season. So that would be the spring, summer. And that's the season that just ended for us. It doesn't really make sense at times when you think about the numbers, but we just had our second season of over 500 kids at Georgetown, which is, I think, so this is the 26th season, 25 season was over 500. The year before it was a little over 400, 425 or 430. So, our registration kind of continues to explode to the point of like, we're trying to think of contingencies or how do we make sure that we get kids the same amount of games, especially with spring weather in Indiana can be always interesting and present its own challenges. But not just games. I mean, kids can't get better if they don't practice. And so then you're, how do we practice and make sure that they have essentially a patch of grass that they can work on and get better on. So we've certainly been blessed with consistent and high number of registration, and a huge amount of those kids are the T-ball and prep ages. And so, I mean, I would say that the future is bright for Georgetown for sure. And again, our goal is to give those kids the best experience, and hopefully they leave after that season learning, obviously, but loving baseball more and wanting to continue to come back. So that's from our standpoint, the spring season is excellent. Our fall ball is, I mean, we're about, I think we're a little over 150 that are registered for fall, which is a huge number for us for this coming fall. And I look at our fall season quite a bit different. Our spring season is kind of that. That's what you envision, competitive. We want to continue to create really great teams and be able to facilitate good competition within our own little bubble, right? Fall, we're able to expand out. Not every little league is going to be able to offer that. And so we don't have to work within the same boundaries for fall ball. So we do get some kids from other little leagues that want to play. I think this year we've got a team that wants to come over from Hamilton Park, and it's like, hey, I would happy to facilitate that. Like, it's, if you have the interest, and we have the program set up, there's no reason to try and reinvent the wheel elsewhere. So if they're interested, we want to work with them for sure. And so, but that the, our fall season is much more of a, it's trying to teach, get kids, especially as they go from one division to the next, get them a little bit more exposure. It's like a kid that would be going from our prep division and at the machine pitch, where next season they're going to age up to minors. If I can give them a short 5 or 6 weeks where I'm just kind of giving them essentially like a soft launch into it, hopefully that sets them up better for next season. So it's less high pressure. The stakes are lower for sure. We're going to do it only on Sundays in the fall, where they're going to have a little bit of practice and then they'll have a scrimmage game. But it's not nearly as intense and really meant as a, as kind of that teaching or a ramp on to the next level for next season.
So the big conversation that, you know, I was looking to have with you today, so a couple of weeks ago, I talked to a good friend of mine that's been in the travel ball scene for a long time, and that's Mark D. LaGarza from the Summit City Sluggers.
Yeah.
And we kind of got this conversation going about how we're wanting to fix, you know, the relationship between little leagues and travel organizations. Mm-hmm. So your league, at least from the outside looking in, from my perspective, looks like it thrives. And from, you know, it could be different, but from my outside looking in, you look like you have, you know, nice competitive, you know, leagues throughout the age groups. Describe your relationship between travel organizations and your Little League, and what, and do you think that there's a relationship that needs paired? Where do you stand on Little Leagues and travel ball?
Yeah, this is a, I have a lot of conversations about this just with people. I mean, I have my own personal feelings about it and I can share that. I mean, I'm kind of entering this world now. So my older son, I have two boys, currently 12 and 11. And so my older one kind of ages out of that Little League age. Now, Georgetown still offers baseball for 13, 14, 15. So that's still an option for sure. He wanted to explore that. And so we went and kind of, I wouldn't say dove headfirst into the travel scene, but I was trying to, I mean, I feel really well versed in what Little League is and what they have to offer, and feel very blind when it comes to the kind of the ins and outs of travel. If I go back to like just even when I was playing in high school age, and I tell people this often, is you had to be the best of the best to get an invite to a travel team. And in Fort Wayne, there's probably only a couple of options. Mm-hmm. That is simply not the case. Like, I think that the market is overly saturated. I think a lot of people would say that. You have people you have people that are participating in travel, and then you go and watch me like, you need to learn how to play baseball first. But that's just kind of the day and age where I think that people would like the allure of being able to say that they're playing travel without really understanding what that means. But then there's also, like you kind of said there, depending on where you live, because Little League has boundaries. So not everybody can just go play anywhere they want. Maybe that they just don't have the availability of competition, or they're just looking for something different. And so there are certainly circumstances where I think it makes sense. But every year it seems to get younger and younger. And then my 12-year-old, is all-star season just ended, and we're kind of looking at what travel could look like for him next year. You almost feel like starting at 13, you're way behind the eight ball, because you got teams that are kind of put together already or have played together for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And now they're only looking for one or two spots to fill. You mm-hmm. got 30, 40 kids for that plus probably. So it's an interesting scene for sure. There are a lot of good baseball players in our area, and I think Georgetown is probably a little bit unique because of the size of our league, where I can facilitate really great baseball games 5-6 days a week, whatever we're playing. And we don't have to really go outside of our league. Mm-hmm. Not everybody is like that for sure. And that's not what I want. I want baseball to be successful in Fort Wayne, however I can help that to happen. And we've had good conversations, built relationships with a lot of the league personnel and presidents over the last couple of years. And I think that there are a lot of people that are working really hard to help make that happen for sure. So, I mean, like overall, I think what has really happened at a high level is, I think that Little League and travel, just as a very generalized kind of statement, is they really kind of pit each other against each other. Mm-hmm. Travel baseball looks down on Little League, like it's lesser than, mm-hmm. and Little League wants to make no concessions to travel ball. And that is not going to be a recipe for success, I think, for either. If you look at the best travel ball, especially kind of in that 12 to 14 age group around here, they are littered with the kids that grew up in Little League and then stepped out or still do both. We have a lot of kids at Georgetown that are doing both. They love the community that Georgetown has to offer, which is a testament to all the hard work that our board and coaches and volunteers have put into it, because we want that to be a destination. I think that, like, it's one of the unique things that Georgetown has is, if you come on a weeknight, you're going to see a lot of the same people consistently day over day, even when they're not playing. Like, they're just there to see their friends and hang out, and that's what we want to build. And I will foster that. Like, that's kind of my main goal. I will be very strict about the wanting to protect that environment, because I think that that is one of the keys to where our success has been, is just making sure that we are. I tell people I'm going to be very militant about, like, keeping that a priority, above all else. So I'm always wanting interested in making a decision for the 500 plus, never for the one. When our kids get older, in our majors division, which is kind of that little league age, that 10 to 12, we tend not to schedule very many games on Saturdays. We don't want to try to conflict with the kids that want to play travel. Again, that doesn't equal success for us or for them. So if they're interested in doing both, let's find a way to make that happen. So that's kind of like one of those ways that we try to do it. I think that there's a way that both can coexist, and I just don't think that they're really interested in going to the table together. But that doesn't mean that it's bad for what's good for what, like, works for some is bad for others, or there's not like this simple answer that's going to fix everything. I think right. that
not just one thing.
It would have to come from the top. Like, they would have to just sit down and work together. I've had that conversation with our district folks of, hey, when we know what the travel tournament schedules are, like the big state tournaments around here, why not avoid those weekends? Let the kids play their travel ball, and then we can still play our local district or all-star tournaments around that. Sometimes they hear it and sometimes they don't, and that's fine. Like, they're the ones making that decision, not me. I'm happy just to live in my little world here.
Right.
But I do think that there's a way for them to work together. Again, if I get into like the weeds of what my personal answer is, I think it's parents driven. I think that if you put a kid at Georgetown, they're going to have a lot of fun and not know that they're missing out. Again, we probably might be unique in that, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But like you see, like, I think they're just giving some kids some false hope at times of, hey, you're at this level, and they can come play at Georgetown and realize, hey, like, there's some good ball players here, and we can compete with just about anybody, which is, I think, what we've shown over the last few years, is our kids can play ball. We've got a really great system, really great volunteers that have helped facilitate that. And anytime that, anytime I can get a kid to play baseball, I'm never going to say no. So I would love to just continue to create those opportunities.
And I was curious about that, because every year, and which is a big reason I reached out to you, you guys have, if not one, two to three teams that are playing deep into the state tournaments. And so, mm-hmm. like, do you think that, formula of success that you've kind of built with, working with the travel organizations, because a lot of these kids, I imagine, that are playing for these teams play travel as well. So, like, do you think that's a big, reason that you've had success, deep in the state tournaments? What would you attest that late tournament success to?
That's certainly some of it. I mean, like, having really good players makes a difference for sure. We have had a lot of success. The last 2 years, we've had the opportunity to send our 10, 11, and 12-year-old all-star teams to the state tournament, which first starts at the district level. So playing all the local teams in our district all-star tournament, and then the winner of that tournament goes to the state tournament. The 12-year-old age group for this year, that tournament was held in Auburn, so they didn't have to travel very far, which is really nice. And that team was, that's probably, I would say out of the 12 players, maybe 6, 7, or 8 of them played travel pretty consistently or were still active in both. They did really well. They were kind of on the precipice and, lost in the semifinals to the eventual state champion in a kind of a heartbreaker of a game. And then, yeah, so there is certainly that piece of it. I think what we have, some of the reasons that we've had success is our, the continuity that we've had over the years. Having some of these players together since, and like playing All-Stars since they were seven, has made a big difference. And just, I mean, Matt Harmon has been coaching those kids in some form or fashion for the last 5 or 6 years. So mm-hmm. it's not like we have to cobble together a team and they don't know each other. These are kids that have been playing ball together for a few years, which helps. Having really good volunteers, it makes a huge difference. Having guys like Matt, one of the guys I coached, a couple of the guys I coach with, Alex McKinstry, Clay Tingley, some of these guys that have played college ball and can yeah. instruct at a high level, even when they're younger. I mean, it's one of my favorite things when I'm talking to one of my teams, I'm like, hey, this is not something I learned until I was in high school, but mm-hmm. you guys are capable if you want to work hard and get to this. So I love kind of dropping that information in there and just exposing them to some of these higher level concepts. But when you get to those state tournaments, what I like to say is like little old Georgetown, it is a different beast because you are playing essentially straight travel teams that have mm-hmm. played probably 40 to 50 games together in the season. And Georgetown has 3 to 4 weeks to kind of put their team together. So we just kind of, honestly, we start at a disadvantage, which I think makes the success that we've had over the last couple of years really special. Our 12-year-old team lost in the semifinals to the state champion. Our 11-year-old team lost in the quarterfinals to the state champion. Our 10-year-old mm-hmm. team lost in the semifinals to the state champion. So, like we're right there, and we've got a really great group of kids and volunteers that like they kind of like they know that we belong, which is I think important. And then they kind of had that desire to keep working. And so, yeah, we don't have any plans to back off. We want to continue to. When you taste that success, it kind of. I think that can be driving some of the numbers of the growth is seeing the success that some of our teams have had in the local and state tournaments. And they want to be a part of that for sure.
So as you approach fall ball season, what are the age groups? What age do you go up to? I know some leagues go up to 16. There's some that have, you know, all through high school. Tell me a little bit about your fall ball and what age groups you got.
Yeah. So, I mean, we start at 3 years old for T-ball, which is really young. I mean, it's I'm not jealous that I'm not in that age group anymore, but it is always the most fun to see kind of kids running around trying to figure out which is our left and right foot, let alone how to play baseball. And it's always good to be a volunteer in T-ball when you're young. Cause you're just, it's herding cats in the best way possible. Right. Everyone's seen the videos of the memes out there of kids running the wrong way, doing the gritty down the third base line, flat out tackling kids in the infield. So, those are always, as a parent, as a baseball lover, those are always the best memories for sure. But T-ball starts at 3, and goes to 6. There are 6-year-olds that can play T-ball. Our prep division, which is that machine pitch, is 6 to 8. And then our minors and majors is 9 to 12. And so that's where you kind of get into kid pitch, good baseball, which is fun. And then we have some of the older kids where it can go up to 16 for the intermediate, which they start moving and playing on a bigger field, moving the mound and bases back. And then our juniors and seniors are playing on a full diamond. And so that's where you get some of the high schoolers that can still come out and get more baseball in. But like, as you kind of said, and even we've been talking about with the travel, and it's not just Georgetown. I think that this is a pretty big thing overall is after that 12-year-old season, the numbers do drop off pretty dramatically where either kids are done playing baseball and they want to go either specialize in a different sport or just decide that they're not into it anymore, which is totally fine. It's where they're going to look outside of the little league. And there's unfortunately, there was also just not as much competition outside of Georgetown. So I talked about this where I can facilitate really good competition every day of the week, but that doesn't still hold true for the older teenage ages. And so historically, we've continued to play teams outside of Georgetown within the city. So your Foster Park, Elmhurst, Hamilton Park, St. Joe, Auburn, so a lot of those teams. If I miss any of the leagues, I'm sorry. I'll come back to that if I figured out. but for the for those
Elmhurst, Foster, yeah, St. Joe, right. Wallen, Don Airs.
Yeah, so Wallen has a really great program, but they don't technically fall under the Little League umbrella, right? And so, yeah. I've had my boys played fall ball out there, and that's where I grew up playing. It's a great facility. They've got a lot of great programs. But for those teenagers, they need to play outside of Georgetown to have consistent competition. And we just, it's not as readily available for those age groups. So that's something we're trying to figure out how to continue to do in a better way. Haven't quite figured that one out yet, but we're working on it for sure. But we offer all those age groups for fall ball. Again, I always tell people, hey, if you're wanting to come and have that same competition level that we do in the spring, then this probably isn't for you, which is fine. Like I've directed people towards Wallen. Like, hey, I know from firsthand experience, they've got a really great program in the fall. It's not what we're trying to create. But there are places for you to get that. Our fall really does skew more towards the ones that are going from one division to the next and trying to kind of get their feet wet in it or see, is this really something I want to do? I've had people that don't really want to commit fully to what the spring season entails because it's a bigger commitment for sure. You got 2 to 3 games a week and practices as far as how the coaches set that. And they're not ready to jump into that. But the fall ball can be really kind of a soft entryway for that as more of the sloped entry into the pool as opposed to just a canning ball off the high dive for sure.
Yeah, you guys have been doing a great job over there at Georgetown. Yeah, you guys have been doing a great job over there at Georgetown. So I definitely was looking forward to highlighting it today. And thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully, you know, we can get, some of the other little leagues, you know, better suited and better, you know, equated with the travel organizations and get a little bit more, competition around the area because you guys have been killing it. And it would be cool to see another team from 10, 11, 12 years old to advance. But all seriousness, you guys have been doing a great job. And you named a lot of coaches that, you know, like you said, Alex McKinstry, who does a great job on giving back with his training as well, has a great training organization. He trains the kids. Obviously, my coach in Harmon. You got other guys too. Coach Tim, that was coach of the Flamingos, who is the guy that I got in contact and got your contact from. So you got some
Tim
good coaches.
I mean, Tim and I go all the way back to high school. So I've known each. I've known Tim for a long, long time. Yeah, but I mean, I appreciate that, DC. And again, this is never going to be a one person show. We've got a lot of great people that are willing to give up a lot of time. And it's not just for Georgetown.
I think that's something that little leagues need too, is just more people to help with their leagues. It sounds like that's a big part of what helps you. And I know some other little leagues that struggle to even get volunteers. Like there's some that I've seen literally post on social media looking for coaches, a couple weeks before the season. So maybe that's something that we can try to get more volunteers for these little leagues. I know it's tough. We all work jobs. We all work multiple jobs in this economy. I understand. We all have families. But there is someone somewhere that knows the game of baseball that has an hour or two a week to give back to not only the kids, but to the game.
Yeah. And that's a little league organization. I mean, we're a nonprofit. My wife has joked like, hey, I don't get free registration for my kids. I don't even get like a special parking spot, although she's angling for that. But I mean, we're only as good as the people that volunteer their time. And It takes a ton, and it is not easy work. I would never sugarcoat that. I think that it's worth it, right? And you said that we got all these jobs, and I always like to say, like, I've got my day job that kind of supplements my desire to help out in Little League. it affords me that opportunity, which is great. But yeah, I mean, I don't think that Georgetown has any secret sauce. And if I did, it wouldn't be a secret. I mean, I just, again, and I've had good conversations with a lot of people around the different Little Leagues. If there's ever anything that Georgetown can do to help them, like, our doors are open. We want these Little Leagues to succeed. I want kids to be able to play baseball. I want them to have the opportunities. So no, there's nothing we're holding back from people ever. We just want to, I want good baseball in Fort Wayne. I want Fort Wayne to continue to be a good product for good players. And if there's a part that we play in that, that's great. Again, there's no shame on my end to point somebody to a different organization or someplace that's better, because we can't serve everybody. I mean, you'll see that in some of even the softball leagues around here, where they just don't have the space to literally serve people. We kind of all have to work together if we want that success. Even at the high school level now, you see some of these programs that are, what was it? Snyder went to semi-state, Blackhawk, I think.
DeKalb, Bluff.
Yeah. I mean,
Norwell.
You're seeing programs. Huntington North did some really great stuff. Homestead had an outstanding team. So a lot of those kids started somewhere. And if Georgetown's a part of that, that's awesome. But it doesn't just have to be us, right? I think that there's a lot of people that can make a difference. And so baseball is just such a great sport. And I just have always want that to be successful and whatever way we can play a part.
I love it. Brandon Lindbergh of Georgetown Little League. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on today, and look forward to meeting you in person one day and coming over to the ballpark and seeing some games and seeing you and the rest of your staff do your thing. You're doing great things at Georgetown, and couldn't thank you enough for coming on today.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity, DC. And anytime you come, just let me know. I'll open a parking space for you and we'll get you close.
I'll be looking for it with my name on it. All right.
Sounds good.